So we're going to read the whole of the first chapter of Colossians. So we'll just read that off. And it says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you from our God and Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of light. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in His sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions, for the sake of His body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave to me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. And then in Colossians 2, we've marked down that we're going to read verses 8 to 15, but I'm actually going to start at verse 6. So verse 6 says, "So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness." And then from verse 8 it says, "See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross." And may God add his blessing to his readings. Now, to just get to think a little bit about what's going on here, if we think about the Colossian church, this was a church that Paul did not found, did not lay down all the framework for. So the first verse in Colossians 2 says that Paul is actually praying for this church. He's also praying for the Laodiceans, and he's praying for all the churches that have not seen him face to face. So when Paul mentions in Colossians 1 that there are things here that he's actually heard about them, he also said that Epaphras was the one who actually witnessed to them. So Epaphras was the one who actually found the church of Colossae. But before we get on to all that, who can remember 2 weeks ago what Pastor Dave preached about? Our short-term memory's not good, is it? The vine. Okay, yes. It was one of the I Am series, and it was preached, "I am the vine and you are the branches." So, yes, so that's what David preached about 2 weeks ago. Who remembers what Harry preached about last week? Looking forward, looking back. Oh, I thought that was very interesting. Thank you for that one, Harry. And I love the start of the sermon. That was great. But at Christmas time, I got this here. It says, "Dad, I want to hear your story." Now, when we think about "I want to hear your story," we've got to think about looking forward, looking back, or looking back more than looking forward. So this is more or less about where you was born, what happened in your younger years, what sorts of things you actually liked, what sorts of things you were actually looking forward to, what your hopes were, and all that. So getting that book and then Harry talking about looking forward, looking back, it really threw something into what we're actually looking about. So when we think about that, I also, if people people remember, the last time I spoke, which was back in November, I actually talked about what my favourite verse of the Bible was. And I asked you what your favourite verses of the Bible was. And so that's a bit of a form of looking back. And I said that, you know, this more or less helps to define who we are. And I'll embarrass Jamie again. And he mentioned Psalm 23. And, you know, and about how the Lord is our shepherd and we shall not want. And so, you know, when we think about that, we think about what goes on in our lives. What I want to come a bit before you with is my testimony. Now, Sarah, if we put that up there. So, my testimony. And what is looking back defines me as who I am. In relation to what the Colossian church was and what defined the Colossian church. So we're going to intermingle those two things a little bit this morning. So if we go in Colossians 2, 6 and 7, it says, "Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving." So when we think about that there, how did the Colossians receive Christ Jesus? We know that when we look at that, it says, you know, "Of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, which came to you as indeed in the whole world, and you heard it, and just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant." Now, this is what I said at the start, that Paul didn't do the Colossian church, but Epaphras did. And so how did the Colossians receive Christ Jesus? They heard it from a witness. And so when we think about, you know, how did we receive Christ Jesus? Who witnessed to us that we might have actually understood what was going on in the Word and what would things? For myself, I was about 14 years old. It was somewhere in April, which makes it back in about 1966, which is a fair while ago. I'd been attending a little church called the Sydney City Mission, and that was in the suburb that we were in. And there was a constant flow of different preachers coming through, as we didn't have a minister at that time, but we had a mission sister. And so the mission sister organised various speakers every week. And so I heard that through there, and I gave my life to the Lord one Sunday night. I'm pretty sure it was one Sunday night, and that's but also when we look at verses 13 and 14 in Colossians, it says, "For he delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." And now this is something that's important in our lives. Why did we give our life to Jesus Christ? For me, it was definitely the redemption of sins. But for others, it can be for other different sorts of reasons. The Colossians was partly this here. They did it for the forgiveness of sins. How did Paul expect the Colossians to walk in Christ Jesus? In verses 10 and 11 it says, Paul expected them to be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father. And it also says that they have been qualified to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. That's a very important thing to think about, you know, and to consider. Have we been strengthened with all power? Now, Paul is not actually speaking to a single individual here. He's actually speaking to the church of Colossae. And so the people as a whole were strengthened with all power. The people were given God's glorious might, and they were attaining steadfastness and patience joyously. In our lives, when we received Christ, what happened to each of us? Let's have a look at 3. And it says the whole first 17 verses in here. It starts off, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is. And it says, you know, we have died and our life is hidden in Christ. Paul said, for as an account of these things, the wrath of God will come. That's all the impurities and all the sins that they had beforehand. He says, but now also put all those things aside, and put aside anger, put aside angriness, wrath, put aside malice, put aside slander, put aside abusive speech. But he also says, do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self and its evil practices. And verses 12 to 17 says, and so, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against one another, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And what did we do this morning? Didn't we sing with thankfulness? Really sounded great. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. And, you know, how do I walk in Christ Jesus? Do I follow these things? What do people see in my life that recognises Christ Jesus in my life? Now, I consider back to looking back again, Harry, it's always good, looking back to the annual general meeting, I was elected as a deacon. Now, how many people here knew me to say, yes, you can be a deacon? All the members here said, yes, you should be a deacon. But did you actually know who I was, and did my walk show my love for Jesus Christ? Hopefully, yes, which is why you actually voted for me. So in my daily life, is my walk consistently with that, just as the Colossians were, as Paul reflected on that? And how did Paul direct the Colossians to be rooted and built up in him. Going back to Colossians chapter 1 and verses 15 to 23 says, "And he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself might come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven, and although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach." And then it adds a rider to that. It says, "If indeed you continue in the faith, firmly established and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, was made a minister." So when we consider these words here, this is basically the testimony of Jesus Christ to us. This is God's witness of his Son to us, what Jesus did that made him who he was. And now, how do I become rooted and built up in him? Number one, study the Word of God. Stick to the Word of God. We have to look continually to God's Word to find out what it should mean to us, what our daily lives should be doing, and now how we reconcile what's happening in the world to what God wants us to do. How did the Christians become established in faith? And, you know, we've read out quite a bit of that. We've read out the verses 8 to 15 of Colossians 2. And when the rest of the ones, 16 to 23 says, "Therefore let no one act as your judge in regard to food or drink or in respect to a festival or a new moon or Sabbath day, things which are a mere shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize by delighting in self-abasement and the worship of the angels, taking his stand on visions he has seen, inflated without cause by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head from whom the entire body being supplied," which is a reference back to being part of the vine and part of the branches, "and held together by the joints and ligaments, grow with a growth which is from God. If you have died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world, why, as if you are living in the world, do you submit yourself to decrees such as 'do not handle, do not taste, do not touch,' which all refer to things destined to perish with the using in accordance with the commandments and teachings of men? These are matters which have to be sure the appearance of wisdom in self-made religion and self-abasement and severe treatment of the body, but are of no value against fleshly indulgence." Established in the faith. What were the Colossians taught? when we go back to verses 5 to 7, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, just as in all the world also. It is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you also since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth. Just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow bondservant, who is a faithful servant of Christ on our behalf. The Colossians were taught the gospel of Jesus Christ. They were taught what they needed to do. They were taught what Scripture taught them. And the Scripture that they learned it from was the Old Testament. Can we continue to learn what God wants us to do from the Old Testament? And I think the answer to that is a resounding yes. What sort of teachings have you had? I know you've had, you know, a lot of many good preachers through here. You've sat under a lot of different things. For myself, I've also had many good preachers. In my younger years, I actually went to a Bible school, did a three-month course at a place called Cape and Ray, which is down near Bowral, Mittagong, down that area. And that was a wonderful time, and I did learn a lot of things there. Also, the daily reading of Scripture. And I think that's probably as important as what I'd learnt at Cape and Ray, and also, you know, the good preachers. If we listen to the good preachers, we also need to do what the Berean church did and study the Scriptures to see that it is so. So, you know, if we do that, then part of our daily readings will come into that and find out what is so within our lives. How did the Colossians express their thanksgiving? Now, I've got quite a number of references there, but I think probably the most important one that we need is verse 16 from Colossians chapter 3, and says, "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God." So how do we express our love of God? I think, you know, we always think about psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts. But this one also says that we should also teach and admonish one another. And if we do all these things, then we are abounding in thanksgiving within our hearts. Finally, what can we say? What does our testimony involve? What does the church's testimony involve? And if we can marry the two of those together, that part of what our testimony involves and what our church's testimony involves, then we're actually getting to somewhere where God is receiving the glory for everything. I've started off with Colossians 4:2 there, but I actually want to go back to Colossians 3:23, which says, "Whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men." And then, you know, as part of our testimony, let us continue steadfastly in prayer. Let our speech always be gracious. Now, that's very easy to talk and say things that are not nice. It's very easy to criticise people. But if we let our speech always be gracious than we're actually giving praise to God. Colossians 4, 17 and 18 says, "And I say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it." And then verse 18 finishes with, "Grace be with you." And I think now, if our testimony is what God wants it to be, then the grace that God gives to each and every one of us will show out to others, and the ministry that God is to be praised for our lives and for what we do to each and every one of us. Amen.